I came today in the public, and somebody is not welcome this morning. I don't know who is a new person here who is not known to this building present, maybe to say a few words. And then, you know, members, that last time we couldn't give them a chance because we knew that we are going to meet with them this morning. Now they will be presenting to us this morning. But let me just give Mr. Kettle thus a chance, and also to maybe to introduce both two teams. I don't know how are you going to handle it. Over to you, Liz.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, honorable members of the committee. We have brought both the commissioners. Commissioner for the Unemployment Insurance Fund is Mr. Sirue, here next to me, and the Commissioner for the Compensation Fund is Mr. Mkonto, next to him. They have brought with them staff that are responsible for finances, operations, human resources, claims, and so on. I'll just go through the names. We have Mr. Lodewijk Ferreira, who is the Chief Financial Officer for the Unemployment Insurance Fund. You can maybe just indicate your hands because I can't see everybody down there. Mr. Chris Mill is an Executive Manager for Operations. Then Ms. Puzi, Executive Manager for Finance, dealing with the expenditure side. Ms. Adiri Bigby, Executive Manager for Finance on the Revenue side. Mr. Govender, Executive Manager Operations. Mr. Isaac Modise, Executive Manager for Information and Communication Technology. And Mr. R. Chauke, the Executive Manager for Human Resources at the Unemployment Insurance Fund. Then for the Compensation Fund, we have Ms. Modiba, who's a Finance Practitioner. Ms. Mallet, also a finance practitioner. Ms. Van Wijk, Assistant Manager Finance. Dr. Morake, the Chief Medical Officer. And we have Mr. Satsi, the Acting Chief Financial Officer for the fund. And Mr. Sirkussen, the Chief Information Officer, also responsible for ICT. Mr. Langolo, Manager Claims, somewhere down next to the tree. Mr. Bokaba and Ms. Bokaba, sorry, and Mr. Tate from the Department of Public Entities Financial Management. Those are the people we have. Ms. Parker is somewhere. Ms. Ruiz, you know, from the DG's office. And I think I've covered it.
And I'm hoping from some of them who would want to hear their voices. It is not going to be the two presenters only. And of course, from CFOs or finances, we need to hear from them, from the horse's mouth. Maybe it may be on response part of it. It shouldn't be only the commissioners. We expect them also to take part.
Yeah. Thank you, Chairperson. I will also not delay any further and let them make the presentations, and then we can deal with questions thereafter.
Yeah, and I would prefer to start with compensation fund, really.
Okay. So Mr. Mkonto will make the presentation.
Thank you, Madam Chair and honorable members. I think you caught me by surprise. I was actually relaxing to learn from my colleague here.
I'm sorry for not announcing that from the onset.
But you always have to expect the unexpected.
Yeah.
So thank you, Madam Chair. I think the compensation presentation, as you will recall, at the last presentation I made before you, I think in October, was somehow a somber presentation. But after the meeting of the Department of Labor's presentation, Madam Chair, I felt that I should prepare a presentation that is a little bit more aspiring than presenting a dim view of the compensation fund. That's on page, I think it's page 17. Thank you. I think the compensation fund has a vision and a mission, like any other organization that is ambitious. We are saying that we are here, our mission is to provide compensation for occupational injuries, diseases, and rehabilitation of employees and deliver a continuous value to all stakeholders. So that is what we are about to achieve. Our vision, basically we're saying that would like to develop and implement solutions to provide quality and accessible service according to standards as set in consultation with stakeholders whilst maintaining the fund's liquidity. To a great extent, Madam Chair, we have not been able to live up to the expectation of that vision. As we say, it is an end state that we are working towards. I believe at some stage I will be proud to come here and indicate that indeed we are implementing quality and accessible services. And indeed we have best standards that are benchmarked with other organizations locally and internationally in providing our services. Indeed, we commit ourselves to share our standards with our stakeholders. I'm not as well sure as to whether we have achieved this as yet. But I think it's something that the vision is suggesting, that we cannot set standards in isolation of our clients. I think the challenge that we have seen over the media is indicative of the fact that there's a difference of view between the Compensation Commissioner's office and the clients that we are servicing. That the vision that we have is indeed not shared with our clients. We have set standards that we said we want to achieve, which standards are not accepted by our clientele. Indeed, we need to relook at this vision and try to live up to it. I will indeed indicate that there's a shortcoming with regard to the vision. Our strategic objectives basically are as follows. These objectives, some of them are derived from the Department of Labor's ministerial program of action. We are saying basically that we want to provide an efficient safety net. We are to ensure that the fund's financial viability is ensured. To some extent, this aspect is indeed in place. We also indicated that we want to have a cash and investment management. I can assure you that we also living up to these particular objectives. Indeed, we are having an effective and cash investment management in the fund. We have also indicated that we want to introduce management reforms and restructuring of the fund. Indeed, at this particular area, I must indicate that there are challenges. We are not really achieving these particular objectives in a sense that in terms of our plan, we have a strategic plan that was approved by the minister, which is a three-year plan, that we have not been able to live up to that. The reasons for not achieving these reforms are related to quite a number of issues. One is the issue of the capacity of management at a strategic level. You might have listened in the introduction of the compass of the UIF management team. You've had, I think, about six executive managers. Unfortunately, in the compass, in fact, prior to my takeover of that fund, the structure is as is since 1996. There's been no change. we read currently Executive Manager of Finance, who is below him as two deputy managers, one for human resource and supply chain management, and we also have Executive Manager of Finance. You will have learned that in the introduction of my team, that in the finance section we've only introduced practitioners. These are people below manager level, which is also indicative that we do not have managers in that particular area. One of the reasons for that is that of the, what you call, public service self-initiated retirement system where people have applied for voluntary packages. Because out of that, we have lost quite a number of managers in that area. And secondly, in the other area, we have manager operations, who also has quite a number of managers. We have a COO, a chief medical officer, CMO, which are, fortunately, we have Dr. Morake here, and we have manager claims. And we also have manager compensation. The rest of the doctors that we have are either assistant managers and on contract. And unfortunately, as I'm speaking now, at the end of this month, I'll be losing two of the physiotherapists, so which is another indication of the challenge that we have with our own contracts. And we indeed, the DG has indeed summoned me to put in place a turnaround plan to address the issue of capacity in that organization. Indeed, the organization is bleeding. We are not pleading for mercy, but we are indicative of the fact that for the past 4 years, this or 5 years, this has been the state of affairs in the compensation plan. And we believe that we have a strategy that will be able to address those issues. We also indicated that we want to enhance quality of access to quota services and information. We are indeed on our way to achieving that. I think my CIO will be able to deal with these particular issues if there are specific questions in this area. And I think the last bullet point of effective and data information management. The specific outputs, we wanted to reform management and restructuring of the fund through the following initiatives. Establish an automated integrated claims and revenue management system. Refocusing the fund for better service delivery. Developing and implementing an advocacy communication marketing strategy. Improving turnaround time for claim settlement. And Madam Chair, you will recall that in our last presentation here, our Honourable Member, Ms. Dreyer, was particularly interested in this particular area, turnaround for settlement of claims, which indeed we are battling at this particular point in time. We have set ourselves a target of 90 days, which is basically a target that is linked to the provisions in the legislation. Within a period of 3 months, we should be able to pay medical providers and compensations to beneficiaries of the fund. We also indicated that we would like to improve collection and access to services. I must indicate that in this particular area, if you read our annual report, you will also find that we are not living up to the expectation of this specific output, in saying that the qualification that we are getting is in this particular area where our revenue management system is found wanting. However, there are good news that I want to present to the committee. As I've said in my opening remarks, but despite all these challenges that we have, indeed there are challenges, there are achievements. We have seen 84% reduction in backlog, especially in the claims area. I would like to elaborate a little bit on this particular area. What we did since May last year, we have separated what we call backlog. You will recall that in some of the court cases, media reports, it was indicated that we have claims dating as far back as 8 years that were not resolved. We have set up a team that is looking at claims starting from the 1st of March 2007. Sorry, 31st March 2007, going back as far back up to the 50s. So that's a team that is looking at everything in the system, physical backlog, which means documentation that have arrived, they have not been attended to. That team is focusing at eliminating those particular issues. I must indicate that in this particular area, the 84% we are talking about, is that we have managed to eliminate 85% of the physical backlog, that is documentation that has arrived in the compensation office that was not attended to. However, we do have a backlog, what I call virtual backlog. That is the backlog that is sitting in the system, where we have captured all the documentation, all the information, but a decision has not been made. So that is phase two of our backlog reduction strategy. So in terms of the phase one, we've been able to eliminate, as I'm reporting now, I'm told that 100% of that has been dealt with. And now we are working on a plan to eliminate what we call virtual. That is a backlog that is sitting in the computer, that we have received a claim, we have either not finalized it because of missing information. Either the employer's report has not been submitted, the doctor's first medical report or a doctor's final medical report or a continuation report. So it is in those areas where we are now working on a plan to eliminate that aspect, such that we can indeed say that we do not have backlog as far as 31st March 2007 going back. So any backlog that we might pick up, it must be backlog dating as far back as 1st April 2007 going forward. So we have a new imaging system that was piloted last year, and indeed the pilot was finalized during the course of last year. I think the CIO would be able to indicate as to how far we are in that particular area. We have eliminated check payment method. You will recall that quite a number of complaints that were received by the minister coming through either members of parliament or directed to the minister was a result of beneficiaries who have not received their money. But when they phoned the fund, they found that their money was paid, because either the checks were falling off the postal van on the way to the beneficiary. However, that aspect has been dealt with. We still have a challenge in a sense that our IT system has not been able to cope with a change to this particular method. However, we have asked our banking provider, which is APSA, to provide a facility which we are using to make payments to the beneficiaries. You will indeed have noticed that some of the beneficiaries might be complaining that they are now required to submit their bank details, certified information from the bank, they are indeed in terms of the FICA legislation, because we believe that we cannot continue to pay people by checks. I've given one indication that justified why I said we must move away from this method. One of the service providers, which is the largest travel agency in the country, I don't want to mention the name, I indeed found that there was a check payment of over 1 million rands. And I indeed said, why should such a big organization want to be paid by check? what is the specific reason. So those are some of the challenges that you will find. If indeed there are big travel agents, they should be definitely have a bank account so that they can be able to account to the taxman all the revenues that they receive. So this is one of the areas where I must say that we must pride ourselves that we've made a big achievement. We also, in this particular area, we have been able to increase our revenue collection. Our stats, as I go down, would indicate that particular area that indeed one of the biggest criticism that our clients are saying is that we're efficient at collecting, but we're inefficient at paying. So that is one other issue that we must say is an achievement. Indeed, our communication is not up to standard, but I must say that we have put in place now a communication strategy, which we are in the process of rolling out. You might have noticed, indeed, that our starting point was in this particular area I've mentioned earlier on the collection. We have an advert already that is running in the media where we're encouraging employers to submit their returns of earnings in order to generate the revenue that we need. And I think we should not only focus there. We should be able to challenge our clients to submit their claims in a particular way, which I think we are wanting in that particular area. But I think as we roll out the strategy, you'll begin to see what we have in place. The challenges that I want to put before you is that if you look at the annual report, you will notice that indeed we are an organization that is operating like a medical aid fund. And indeed, the compensation fund is not a medical aid organization. Our duty is to ensure that workers who are injured are fast-tracked to go back and work. And indeed, in this particular area, we still have a challenge in that we have set in our work plan that we want to put in place a policy for early return to work. But indeed, this has not been finalized. But I must indicate that there's work in progress. Dr. Murake might be able to deal with that aspect as to where we are in terms of that particular area. The claim turnaround time remains a challenge. Indeed, you'll notice, as I've said earlier on, that we have claims dating as far back as 8 years. The biggest challenge I found is that our systems and processes do not live up to the expectation of the clients. In a sense that when you send your invoice, you expect that invoice to be paid within 30 days, which is in line with the Public Finance Management Act. But I think we are not living up to that. To the extent that we find that we are receiving invoices after invoices, and that chops the system because if a doctor sends you an invoice, in 30 days time he sends you another one, maybe think that it fall off the postal van. And you find that the paperwork you saw on special assignment is indicative of the number of papers that we receive, six, seven invoices from the same doctor. That does not indicate the volume of work. It just indicates the volume of non-performance, in my view. But it's something that we are looking at, we are addressing. So you should not have a lot of paper coming through the system. And the IT systems could be able to assist us in that we should have electronic submission of claims. But when a doctor sends a claim electronically, he doesn't have to send another claim. We also have noticed a slow progress in the implementation of IT, which hampers our finalization of the integrated claims and revenue system. I think we are best in this particular area. Our IT indeed is supposed to support business, but I think in this particular area there is a lot of challenge. We're not getting the necessary support that we anticipate. And Mr. Sigurdsson, the CIO, might be able to provide some light into what challenges we do have in that area. With regard to the finances, I must indicate that we have seen an increase of 22.7% in our revenue from 2.5 billion in 2006 and 2007 to 3.3 billion and 2008. Our investment income has also shown a rise of about 15.4% from 470 million to 556 million. Other income, which basically this will include issues such as penalties, interest, we've seen a rise, a reduction from 12.5 million to 11.8 million. And I think our acting CFO will be able to provide explanation as to what could be the possible reasons for the decline in income. Benefits payments as of February, we are seeing a reduction of 15.1, but this is not a reduction because we have not yet finished the financial year. Probably at the end of March we might see the figure going up. But indeed it might be saying that our claims are stabilizing around 2.3 billion rand. Admin expense, we've seen a reduction, which is a good news. But indeed, there are some efficiencies that probably could be in place to provide the same services at a lesser cost. We are seeing a surplus of about 55%, which is probably due to our investment income in this financial year. I did indicate in my last presentation that our portfolio mix at a point in time was creating a problem, which I think the Auditor General has made mention of it, to the extent that we are not making enough money in terms of what the market provides. But I've seen a dramatic improvement in this financial year. I think this is also reflected also in our investment income. We've seen that we've seen an improvement from 15 million to 16.4 million. On the medical side, we've seen payments, number of claims paid, 543,000 claims, which indicates to a good extent that we are paying in the region of over 40,000 claims a month. Number of payments means number of invoices that we've processed is 886,000, which is over 80,000. Indeed, it does indicate that there is work that is being done there, despite the challenges that we're experiencing. Compensation area, where we're paying workers, 324,000 claims have been paid. A number of payments, 331,000, and the amount was 655 million. If you look at the difference between the medical payments and compensation, you will see that the medical payments is almost double the compensation, which means we're spending more money on paying medical doctors than paying workers, which is a reality across the globe. Next slide. This next slide provides you the stats on number of claims that we've opened over the years. You will notice that there's been a decline in number of claims. I suspect that is due to the fact that this information is as far back as October last year. I believe that we will surpass the 21,000 figure in 2007 and 2008, because of, as I said, of our earlier strategy of backlog elimination, that number will rise. You will see that 64% of the claims that we have opened were accepted, about 1,000 of them out of 182,000 were repudiated. So basically, there's a very low level of repudiation in the commission fund. 827,000 paid, which is 70.6% of them, of the 64% were paid. Next slide. If you look at the next slide, it basically indicates what I've earlier confirmed, is that our medical claims are on the rise. You see that in the last financial year, we paid 1 billion, and as of February this year, we're sitting at about 1.3 billion, which is basically an inflationary increase. The next slide. This is number of accounts that we've paid. You see that last year we paid about 70,000 accounts, no, 707,000 accounts, and indeed this year we've increased that number by almost 100,000 as of February. So by the end of March, that number could be reaching probably around 900 or a million, which indeed indicates that there is improvement in the payments of the medical accounts. This is TTD payments by February, which is total temporary disability payments. These are payments for workers who are injured and were incapacitated for a short period of time and then they were able to go back to work. If you look at the claims that we have dealt with, in 2007, it was 42,000. So in 2006, we had 37,000. And as of February this year, we've dealt with 42,540. So there's quite an increase in this area. Next slide. It's payments in rand value. In the last financial year, we paid 108 million. And as of February this year, we've paid 97 million, which indicates that there's a slight decline in the payments of compensation for temporary total disability. With regard to pension payments, in the last financial year, we've paid 71,000. In this year, we've paid 73,812. I must indicate, Madam Chair, that this area, we still have some challenges in a sense that we have not automated the pension payment system. We still manage manually. And I must indicate that it might be an area that the Auditor General might want to look at in this coming financial year, because in the interim management report that we have, they've indicated that concern around the management of the pension system, in a sense that it's still run manually. To understand that some of the calculations that we make, they're not quite comfortable. But I think we'll leave that to the final audit report when it comes as to what are the real issues. I've dealt with this slide. The next slide deals with permanent disability. lump sum payments. We have paid 125 million, and we are now, as we speak, around 57 million. There is indeed a decline in this particular area, and I think Mr. Ngolo might be able to give up some light as to what could be the reasons for the decline in the lump sum payments for permanent disability. However, Madam Chair, going forward, we have set our priorities, which are covered in the MTF, Medium-Term Expenditure Framework, which is the Red Book. We have set ourselves the following priorities. Indeed, we're saying that in as much as we have moved away from checks, we haven't perfected the system, and I think in this coming financial year, we want to see a seamless transition from check to the extent that we do not have to rely on the assistance of APSA, that our IT systems must be able to handle that particular aspect properly. Indeed, we are battling at this point in time, but we are on the way to improving that particular issue. Collections is an area that we believe that we need to collect more money. We have set up a strategy this particular year. I must also indicate that this particular area is a serious weakness in the fund, in a sense that I've informed the audit committee that we've since discovered that there are returns of earnings dating as far back as 8 years that were not captured in the system, which my team is working on to capture, which means it's a lost revenue that the fund was not able to recover over that long period of time. And we hope that in this financial year, we should be able to focus on capturing all the returns that we receive this year, so that we can be able to invoice all our employers in this particular coming financial year, in 2008 and 2009. The turnaround time, indeed, we rely much on our IT systems here. There is a lot of work done by human beings, but I think you cannot do more with hands if you do not have systems to support you. Because what I've picked up is that the CIO, I've asked him to run me a report on duplicate payments. Indeed, it shows how much effort is being put into processing the same account. That's very worrying, that the effort could have been put into paying doctors and paying compensation people than to repeat the capturing of the same account, because the doctor has sent the account more than 2 times. Because the system says they are now. If somebody's capturing this account, the system can't tell you that, no, stop, somebody's working on this account. It can't. It allows you to continue capturing. So, indeed, we believe that the system should assist us in eliminating that particular thing. If we go electronic, indeed, there will be no possibility of duplicate in the system. I must indeed indicate that the people indeed are working hard, but their sweat is disappearing in the feathers, like a dog that runs the whole day, but you never see the sweat of that dog, because it disappears in the skin. I'm a Shangan, so that's why English is a bit of a problem. So I'm trying to think in Shangan to speak English. We indeed put up in place an IT system as one of the priorities that we want to address this coming financial year. And I think I've underlined the last bullet point, addressing the human capacity challenge. I think our DG will be able to assist me in dealing with this particular aspect. I believe you dealt with in the last Department of Labor debate. But indeed, it is a challenge across the organization. In terms of our MTF, we have allocated in the next 3 years, we are planning to collect assessment income to rise from 3 billion this year to 3.6 billion in 2010 and 11. These indeed are conservative figures. As we proceed, probably in the next financial year, we'll be able to revise these figures. Other income, we're projecting a rise from 1.2 billion this financial year to 1.5 billion in 10 and 11. Total revenue, we are projecting a rise from 4.3 to 5.16 in 10 and 11. Current expenses, we are looking at, this basically will include your admin and other expenses, a rise from 433 million to 527. Transfer and subsidies, which is, covers your claims, medical claims, compensation, and others, a rise from 2.3 billion to around 3 billion in 10 and 11. Indeed, we're projecting also a surplus throughout our MTF period from 1.5 to 1.6. As I said, it's a conservative estimate. If you look at the figures for 6 and 7, 7 and 8, you see that indeed our performance surpasses our projections. The highlights of the MTF, next slide, is that we're projecting, as I've said, a marginal inflationary increase of 7%, which is in line with, which is far above, which is a little bit above the projection of the Reserve Bank governor. But if you notice the debate around the Department of Health and the private health sector, indeed it indicates that the inflation in this medical area is on the rise. And we are projecting a 7% increase over the MTF period. Also projecting an average increase of 12% in the payment of, I was dealing with revenue in that particular area. On the claim side, we are predicting about 12% increase, which is far above the expectation of the Reserve Bank governor. Significant growth also of 13%. On compensation of employees. This is due basically to the fact that we're sitting with a number of contract workers of over 300 of them, which basically get their full emolument because they don't contribute to pension schemes and all these other things. We're expecting an increase of about 13% over the MTF period. I think also this does also indicate the challenge I've raised earlier on about the establishment. To indicate that if you have more than half of your staff members as contract workers, that indeed, and some of them have been there for over 8 years, that also indicates that indeed the establishment is not right. It needs to be addressed. And we believe, with the acting DG, we'll be able to address this particular issue. I think he is on top of it. Probably next year when you come here, we'll be giving you progress on these particular issues. Madam Chair and Honourable Members, I would like to end my presentation here.
Thank you very much, Mr. Jim Kondo. And before giving members, Ntate Kettledus, there are so many issues that we want to raise, but this thing of getting your copies of presentations, copies of presentation and the hard copies really disturbed us, because we need to have more time scrutinizing these reports. You know, the presentation, just to present to us, it's not going to us, assist us as the committee. But the important thing is to receive this. I don't know. I just want for you, the acting DG, just to find out from what are the actual problems for sending this. Because we, as Parliament, we expect this, to receive this in 7 days before we could talk to the presentation. But it really disturbs us a lot, more especially if we feel that there are issues of concern in that entity. So I just want to get the explanation, and of course I will give members. But before that, I just want to find out from Dadim Kondo about the team which is going to look at these backlogs, which are sitting in the system, and in the meantime are waiting for maybe reports from the doctor or whatever. Is the team looking at specifically on that or what? What is this team actually doing? Because now if we are looking at this claims, 8 years old claims, because we really want to do away with that. The 84% reduction of backlog claims doesn't matter to us. We want to really eradicate this backlogs. And on your on page 21 of your presentation, the decrease of it's under the administration. I hope the arrows that are showing down, it means the decrease. How can the administration expenses increase when the fund is currently busy restructuring and addressing capacity challenge? And also when you look at, because we've been looking at last year's presentations also, according to the stats provided on the claims opened since the year 2000 to October, in October 2007, last year, there has been the lowest number in the claims that were accepted compared to the previous years. Now, given the communication strategy that should raise awareness around the compensation fund services, what are the reasons for decline in the claims being accepted? And can I open for questions in that day, Zondeki, and then Dreya, Dr. Rubna Rain, Mr. Nene, Mr. Lakheto, in that order, please. And of course, before giving you the day, we must welcome Mamkize, Ms. Rajabali. We are very much happy. We were talking about you to say, really, you've been away for 2 weeks, that you were sick. And I think you need, let's just give her a round of applause. She's alive and kicking. We are very much happy. We were very much worried. Last week we wanted to know exactly what is happening. Thank you for
thank
being
you
with us again. Ndate Mzondeki.
No, thank you, Chair. Can I come back later on? But they're on slide 44 and 45. I thought I heard the commissioner to be saying there's a thin line. I'm not sure if I misheard it. And it looks like the decline on the medical payments and the number of medical accounts. You know, when you were doing the presentation, I thought you were seeing the other way around. just want a clarity on that, thank you.
Maitreya?
Yes, I want to thank Mr. Mokwantu for his presentation. I've been waiting for this. And although I've always been very friendly to him, he says he's scared of me. Madam Chair, yes, on a more serious note. He said last time he presented to us it was a bit of a bleak picture, and he was going to give us a more uplifting picture today, and I see he's tried very hard. But I'm sorry to say that when he talked about, you know, achievements, for example, and not as opposed to challenges, some of the achievements are actually still challenges. You haven't managed to achieve what you want to achieve. So I think Mr. Mokwantu still got a very, very big job ahead of him. I know he hasn't been in office there that long, and he's been sent there to sort out problems, but I think he's got a very tough challenge ahead of him. Now, there are lots of challenges, as he calls it, and one can go into them in detail, each individually, but I don't want to do that. I want to ask a more kind of overarching problem question, say, what is the root cause of all these problems? That they're not achieving here, they're not achieving there, they haven't met that target, they haven't met that target. What is the root cause? And I actually want to propose something and hear if he agrees with me. I would imagine that it's the staff problem, human capacity alluded to that. So I want to ask, what is the root cause? Is it related to lack of staff? Is it a human resource capacity problem? And then more specifically on that line, the last presentation we had, I'm looking at the organizational structure on page 4, Roman 4, in our annual report. And he mentioned there was a couple of people who were suspended in the senior positions. There was a chief financial officer, Mr. Dreyer, who was suspended. The executive manager of claims, Mr. Talani, was suspended. And I think there were others as well. I'm not sure I got all the information correct, but I made notes as he was talking. There's also Mr. Fani Krier, I think. Was he suspended or not? Now, my question is, all these people have been suspended, and there were pending investigations. I think he said there was a forensic investigation. How far has this investigation gone? Has it been concluded? What was the result of it? What happened to these people? Have they been found guilty? If not, have they come back? Because obviously you can't sit with a situation where all these serious matters are pending and hanging in the air. And that would also, of course, I think, contribute to human resource problems. Madam Chair, yes, that's the question on that side, human resource. I had another question on the financial management side. I wanted to ask, you know, it's kind of a favorite topic to ask about bonuses. On page 87 of the annual report, we see the remuneration of various people, basic salaries, other allowances, so on and so forth. But one column gives us bonuses and performance-related payments, page 87 on this annual report. Now, there's an amount of 70... Is that million paid in bonuses? I just want to get clarity of that. Who received bonuses? And do you have a performance assessment system in place on which you measure? And are people measured to see if they actually qualify for bonuses or not? I want to know on what basis are bonuses paid. I might come in later, Madam Chair, but I think it's enough for now. Thanks.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have a couple of questions. Firstly, you know, one of my concerns is this whole idea of work ethic and morale, especially at the staff at the call center, because the thing tied into this is the management of documents, because, you know, some of the claimants will submit documents in triplicate and these documents go missing. So how what is going to happen? Because, you know, you spoke about the turnaround strategy, and I looked at last year's a presentation, and it was also a challenge then, so it's recurring. The other problem is revenue collection. Don't the employers, I mean, don't you levy penalties against them, you know, just to ensure that you generate this revenue. And fraudulent claims, I mean, are you able to tell us, you know, how much was paid out in fraudulent claims? I'd also like to ask the CFO, on what basis did we get qualified or audit? And also, traditional healing practitioners, I mean, where do they fit in? Are they on the advisory panel? Are you allowed to submit a claim from a traditional healer? Do you have a policy on that? Okay, that's all for now. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. Some of my points have been touched. But I've got some claims which we used to be given by the people on our consensus. But from what you are saying, that there was that deadlock, I'm partly answered. But I will give you some information so that you can follow up. Because there is a chap who has amputated both legs, but up to now is not getting any feedback. But I will give you that information because you did touch that. I would like to know about this IT, because it's not all the departments are facing this huge problem of IT. So that I would like to know that why is it not coping, and why so long? Because I think the technology used in nowadays came some years ago. But why it takes so long to be ratified? And again, my colleague has been touching the issue of human capacity. Really, to me, maybe using the word, that is a challenge. I would say it's not a challenge, it's a problem. It's a problem. Maybe if you are putting in that way, we will find that we need to be addressing this thing. Because to me, it seems as if all what is happening here is because of this human capacity. Unless we are prioritizing this as quick as possible, we'll be sitting with this. And of course, to me, it seems as if even this qualified annual budget, it is partly a cause of this human lack of capacity. Thank you.
Yeah, the human capacity that you were talking about earlier on, that the acting DG must assist us on it, maybe to just to explain.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me also take this opportunity to thank Mr. Mkhonto and his delegation for this presentation. My concern is around receiving incomplete forms of claim. And I think that would definitely cause the delay and the backlogs. There is a question of competency there. Do you have enough manpower to do the work? That is my first concern. The second concern, you are talking about that all my colleagues are raising, that you will be addressing, that your priorities for 2008-2009 is to address human capacity challenge that you are facing. Can you please detail this and give us time frames on dealing with this matter? Thanks.
I'm sure it goes, both questions or concerns goes back to you, acting DG. And can I just check what impact does these surpluses have on the audit report of the fund? Also, to tell us about the vacancy level. What is the vacancy level in the fund? Dr. Anthony, and then Dr. Zondek.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, mine is only on page 19, your strategic objectives. hope I'm not repeating a question that has already been posed to you, but just for the interest of to register, page 19. Just to register my understanding of your explanation under management reforms and restructuring. This seems to be your great challenge. You have indicated that you are battling, you don't have managers, in fact. You only have practitioners at this point in time. And but you also indicated that we have a strategy. We will be able to address all these issues that you have explained under that. Maybe it will be important to just to give us an indication as to, in terms of the strategies that you have, how exactly are you going to address this challenge? Because I think this is the key at leadership level and implementation level. You are having a very, very great challenge at that particular area. Thanks.
Yeah, maybe I should take the last two hands and yeah, are you ready for that, Pumkis? Yeah, you may come.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for my colleagues and the presenters here in welcoming me. I am feeling much better now. I had an attack on my nerves, so try and rest a little bit. Don't let it get you too as well. My question is on the page 16, benefit improvement impact on surplus. I would very much like to know on the surplus, was the surplus created because of reduction of unemployment? Are we having more employment now? And if so, it will be a very, very good news to hear. Then I also want to know whether there is any extended benefit paid to the beneficiaries that are collecting unemployment, and what are the rate of unemployment at the moment. On the second slide, on the same page, you are saying staff costs.
On that one of the surplus, I think let's put it aside for the next presentation. It's on
okay.
UIF.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. All right, then can I just ask my question on the slide where it says financial achievement? You have an arrow there going down. Can I ask on that
yes.
slide?
Part of UIF. Yes.
Oh. Page 16.
Yeah, slide 33 is part of the UIF slide.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
From
yeah,
slide 34.
Both, and also the financial achievement on page 17?
Yeah.
Is that also part of your next presentation?
Yes.
Oh, all right, then I'll reserve my rights. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. Thanks, presenter. It's, again, I suppose I'm looking on, is it your job to be maintain such a massive surplus? Are you in an investment business or not? Because you get money in which covers, and we're sitting with an enormous surplus if we look at, and Ms. O'Shaughnessy, that's the surplus on page 26. that's the one thing. The other thing is, you know, you expect medicals to increase, which in your on your last page, but then we find that medicals have dropped. So it's a bit of a contradiction if you look at the slide on medical payments on page 25. Is that the win or where's medicals? Yeah, you know, that's the term disability. Medical payments, stats, see if you go down. Page 23, I think, slide 44. But you expect it to go up. You can just clarify that. And I'm very concerned about backlogs. You know, people, when you say backlogs going to 1988, 20 years, you know, people are claiming because they're in trouble. They're not coming to you because they're hale, hearty, and healthy. They're putting in claims because they're in trouble.
And it's usually people in, shall I say, in the less affluent part of society who are in trouble. We're not talking about top executives, we're talking about ordinary people. And to say that your first priority should be to clear the backlog. You know, you'd say a lot of claims within 90 days, that's all very well, but clear the backlog. People, I have a claim here. I just for example, I have a claim here of some person in April, and I thought this was bad, but I didn't know. I mean, this only goes back 4 years. In April, the man is told that a hearing will be held in November the next year, in 18 months' time. 2 days before the hearing, that's now April 2005, the hearing will be 28 November 2006, 18 months ahead. He's got to wait. Then you come to just before the hearing in November 2006, 2 days, his friends say the hearing has been postponed, but you'll be informed. He waits for virtually another year and hears nothing until he comes to me. Then I say, look, when is he going to have his hearing? Then they say, well, right, now we'll give you a hearing, the original hearing for November. This is after I've written and done my nut and threatened to go to the minister. A hearing will now be held in February this year, 2008. Again, 2-3 days before the hearing, he gets a phone call to say the hearing's been postponed and we'll let you know. I mean, brother, if you carry on like that, you'll solve your backlog. Everybody will be dead. Then you don't have to worry. It's actually disgusting. It's actually disgusting. Now, this is one that I know of because he happens, you know, a lot of you people, sorry, he drives a lot of us. So that's how I get to hear about it. How many other people are this? And I think your top priority should be to clear your backlog. Some people who were injured maybe last November or something, 3 months ago, well, let them wait another, I'm not saying they could wait another 3 weeks. But the people who are waiting for 20 years, 15 years, 10 years, 5 years, how much are they suffering because of this? And that is totally unacceptable. That should, quite frankly, be one of your first priorities. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. I just need to check the state of the compensation fund at the regional offices of the decentralization process. Can you give us the state of this, the compensation fund there at that level? But with regard to the backlog, something comes into my mind because from experience, mine worker, having worked in the mines for quite a long time, I just want to check because, you know, the question of information dissemination becomes very crucial at the point because I remember, you know, the restructuring of the economic situation since 1994 with the retrenchment processes, with the packages and so on and so on. You may find that there are people who might be sitting somewhere there who did not even have the information or the know-how to access compensation on whatever reason. How do we you know ensure that this information, you know, try and reach some of the people that might be still be living, still be there. Because I think there are volumes of people who were from the mines, in my mind, who might still be sitting there and also be on the backlog that we are talking about. I'm not sure. It might be an unfair question, but I'm just thinking because I know that a lot of people, our people, the situation of our people is that we know that many of our people are not illiterate. They could not read and write on the mines. And some of them just packed their bags and went home, maybe whilst the process of claiming compensation was still on. And I know that the employer by that time, they would not necessarily bother to follow up that, you know, someone who was, you know, in the process of claiming might end up, you know, finalizing that claim. And it's a question of information as to how we could maybe find out how do we reach those people at the rural area. What is it that we are doing in that regard?
Thank you, Ntate. On the benchmarking, what measures have the fund taken in benchmarking its IT system to UIF, and what are other measures that has this compensation fund copied from the UI? I don't know if that is so. And is it a follow-up, Madreya? Okay, so.
Thank you, Chapa. Let me also thank the commissioner for his effort. But just to say, maybe it's important, Chapa, that the commissioner must take us through the issues that were raised by the Auditor General from 2006 up till last year, and what measures have been put in place. I know already that we've got a guarantee that we are not going to get the clean bill of health this year again. But already I can hear that there are efforts to try and work towards correcting that situation. I'm worried, Chairperson, about the situation that says, especially at the level of management, that they've lost so many managers, and it's a problem in the department. And it looks like this has been going on for almost 4 years. What is the problem? Are we not finding the people to replace those positions? Because as the commissioner has indicated, that is part of the problem. I thought that it would be important. I did hear that there's apparently a strategy to try and address the problem. Is the strategy already in place? Can he share the strategy with us so that we know that at least we're working towards correcting the situation? Thank you.
Yes, Madam Chair, we talked about the human resource and the human capacity problem there and so on. So it's a matter of the numbers of people, quantity, but it's also, I think, a matter of quality. And I just want to add this one to the part before he answers. Now, I understand that there are too few people and so on, but the example Mr. Labuschagne mentioned, I think most of us here, the members, have got similar examples. People phone the MP out of desperation when they've tried everything else. Then they phone the MP and ask the MP. And I've also sit here with examples of cases of people that, you know, similar, very sad stories. But then when I phoned, then I discovered, you know, why do people get so despondent? You phone the helpline. You phone then a specific person. You phone another person. Then you transfer or recommend it yet again to speak to another person. You leave a message. They don't phone you back. You get this email address. You send an email. They never reply. And so it goes on and on and on. And they're the cases that I have here, I've been following that up for 3 weeks and 4 weeks now, and I simply don't make any progress whatsoever. And I think it's a matter of the people don't care. They make promises and that they don't keep up. So I think I want to ask, what is the culture, the work ethic there? What about the principles of Batho Pele? I mean, as Mrs. Labuschagne also said, the people that we're trying to help here, they are, you know, the people who've been in accidents, became injured, they often down and out, they unable to continue working anymore. They really need these compensation, those payments desperately, urgently. The family members are trying to help, but they're running out of funds. We're trying to help these people, and we're letting them down very, very badly. And the people that got through, don't return their calls even. That's when it comes from an MP. And then how much more so when it's an ordinary member trying to get through and try and get his case resolved.
Now, is in the elimination of check payment method, you spoke about this travel agency. Did you get a thorough explanation about it, about why do they want to be paid by check, not through the bank? Did you really get into this matter? I think Dr. Mkhondo, let's just get a little bit of strength by having a break, 5 minutes break to get fresh tea, then we'll get the response.
Be mindful of the time, because we still have to get the UI presentation. Over to you, Douglas.
I'm not answering his questions. No, Chair, I must, the first point that you raised about the receiving the copies of the presentations before, and we must apologize for that. We would make sure that in future that you do receive all our presentations 7 days before the date of the committee. I think it was an oversight. Some of them were still making changes yesterday, so I think that is my problem.
You say that it will be corrected, because we've never, ever had that 7 days before.
No, you will now get a chairperson, don't worry. I commit myself to that. If I can deal with the capacity issue, when we met you on the 4th of March, I indicated what we were doing in looking at the entire establishment of the department. And I had indicated to you, Honorable Kongi is not here today when he asked you, but you said tomorrow. I did meet with the program managers the next day, the 5th of March. And we went through each of the programs, and we looked at what the establishment is for that particular program and the vacancies within each of the programs. When we did that for the compensation fund, at the time we identified that it had 72 vacancies that we need to fill. Since then it has increased to about 81 because of what the commissioner earlier said. We've had applications for employee-initiated severance packages. These are people that, in most cases, have been there a very long time at the fund. Some of them have been there for 17 years, some 21 years, that have applied for the employee-initiated severance package, which is a facility in the DPSA that could be utilized where people want to live earlier. So we've had some of those applications. And then, of course, you've had the suspensions of those managers. Now, you cannot fill the post while the matter has not been finalized and resolved. The investigations or the hearings have started for those four individuals, but it's not been completed yet. We hope that it will be completed soon. I think there's been two rounds of hearings already. Of those individuals. And once the decision is made, if they are eventually dismissed, then only can you fill that post. But you cannot fill the post while the process has not been completed. So what we have done then is we've clearly identified the level of vacancies within the fund. We have had a session with the fund to look at the prioritizing those ones that should be filled as soon as possible so that we are able to improve the capacity to deal there. But that's a short-term measure. For the medium to long-term, we need to look at the entire structure of the fund. As the commissioner earlier said, 47% of the staff there are contract workers. Now, it is untenable to continue to run the organization with 47% of contract workers. And what we need to look at is what is the ideal structure for us to have there. There are some governance issues that must be addressed as well, like we must have a risk management unit there. We must have risk management personnel there. And we need to look at at how the business process flow, and that we have the optimal capacity for the business process that we implement there. And then, of course, in support of the business process, the information technology system must then be such that that the business process flows, and that we are able to do this with a proper system in place, because you cannot run this thing manually. I mean, if you saw those heaps of claims, paper claims, then you can't run the organization like that, because if one piece of paper is missing, the claim can't be processed. You know, if the first medical report is there, but the accident report isn't there, you can't process. Because you need to look at the nature of the accident and the nature of the injury sustained, and that information is necessary for you to process. And therefore, you need to have a proper system in place where these things are on a database, and one would be able to take that forward. So as the immediate step, we need to fill the vacancies there. As a second, medium to long term, we need to look at the entire structure, and I have met with the management team last week on Thursday, the entire management team of the fund, to say that this is what we need to do. We now need to identify what we need to put in place. We need to agree the time frame, and we have to now put task teams onto the job to complete it within the time frame that we would be setting. So my objective is that within this next year, we have to turn this around. So we have to deal with the capacity issues. We have to deal with the process issues there, and the system, because all three of those are important. That you have the human capacity, that you have the proper process flow. Because what happens now is that one person does part of the claim, another one does another part, another one does another part. So when you phone, you wouldn't get an answer, because no one can tell you where it is. So we need to look at that as well, to make sure that when there is an inquiry, you are able to have the information at hand. Now, if it is also not electronically available, it means that people must go scratching documents to give the information. So that's why the processes are important, the systems are important, and the human capacity are important for the fund to function properly. So that is what we are putting in place now with the cooperation of the management. We have also met with all of the workers there, 600 plus of the workers. We met with them last week, Thursday, and we have raised the same issues with them, that we need their cooperation in order to do the things that we want to implement. But we it's a process that we have to tackle. And we have to set a very clear time frame for that. So we have started, and Chairperson, we will continue doing that, and we are very happy to update you as we meet throughout the course of this year on the progress that we are making in dealing with these issues. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. There are quite a number of questions here about 34 in all, but I think my DG has indeed dealt with some of them. So I will go straight to the questions, so that we do not waste your time. I think you've asked us about the issue of the backlog. What is the team looking at? As I've indicated, is that some extent, Mr. Kedlar has also dealt with that issue, is that there are backlogs that are there due to missing information, which is something that we had a court judgment, I think some 3 years back or over that. And I think that's a critical area where we're lacking, where we do not follow up on information that is outstanding. We leave it to the workers to run around and try to get that information. And the last 10 months I've been there, is that precisely, I think one honorable member mentioned something about communication. And that one area where we've failed our people, that we do not communicate ourselves well as to what are the rights of the workers, what employers must do. The bulk of employers, if you look at our stats, if you look at the revenue that we're getting, it's indicative that South Africans are compliant. They want to comply with the law. The challenge is that we do not give them proper information. To the extent that they operate in the dark, they become victims of consultants, most of the employers. And what I've picked up is that most employers, when you phone them and say, where is the extended report, they want to hide. Because they believe that probably the next move will be the policeman coming to arrest them. When in actual fact, the compensation fund absolves them from liability. Because by creation of this fund, you are absolving the employer from liability to extend that the compensation commissioner takes full responsibility of any injury at work. Now, most employers are not aware of that. That is why you find that they are running around, duck and diving, because they think that if they give the right information, they're going to be in trouble. I think we need to communicate the importance of giving accident reports. So that's the area where we are battling. Most workers, you will find that, as one honorable member mentioned, that they're not that very much accessible to our law through to the educational challenges that they may have. That you find somebody was injured, the employer took him to a doctor to say, go and fix your finger and then like that. And maybe the person has lost a leg. And then the employer says, but you can't work now. I'm going to give you something to go home. And then that worker goes home and sits. He doesn't know that he's entitled to compensation. So that's some of the challenges that we are having. This is the type of information, but mostly either ID, copy of ID missing, or employment report, or the doctor's first medical report or final medical report. This is most of the issues that we're battling with. Our challenge, if you look at the types of response we give to Parliament when you ask us questions, is exactly that we have written a letter to the doctor last week. It's because in most instances we react on information that is brought to us or on a query that is brought to us. We do not have a system that prompts you to say, these are the issues that you have not dealt with. These are the problems, so that we can have a follow-up system. We don't have a follow-up system. We rely on you coming to us and raising a question. I think going forward, we should be able to have a system that is handling that. I'll give an example which I'm very proud of. I've applied for my ID book. When I left Home Affairs, as I was leaving the door, I got an SMS that says your reference number of your application for ID. Yesterday, I received an SMS that says your ID is at the office. Big achievement of this government, which we must be proud of, that now I know that my ID is ready. I must go and collect it. This is the type of information that you are, so the compensation must have. So your claim has been received. The following documents are outstanding. Follow up. Maybe after a month, we send you a filing application. We have not received the documents. Because these things are IT-driven. You don't need human intervention. The system can just do it on its own. So that is the future that we would like to have. And I think my honorable DG has indicated that without IT, you can put many people, you will not be able to answer the issues. Because one person will be dealing with this thing. You phone the next one, he doesn't know where this thing was, it's being handled by another one. So that's the challenge that we are working on. We hope that through the system that we have, we'll be able to eliminate this backlog. It's phase two. We have dealt with the physical backlog, as I said, the paperwork that was there lying, that we have eradicated. But now we need to go into the system and say, what is the information where people have filed applications, nothing has happened to them? Because there are still information, and we need to follow up on those issues. We need to give to inspectors, they must run around and go to employers and get reports. I think critical to that is the communication to say, employer, report an accident. It's in your advantage, it's in the advantage of the worker for you to report an accident. Not that we'll be sending our inspectors to arrest you. No, that's not the thing. But there's a pressure that employers are having. On the admin expenses, I'll reserve that one to Mr. Tassi to respond to that one. And Mr. Lemuelo will deal with the reduction in the statistics on the claims accepted. And also in the decline in medical payments, Mr. Lemuelo will deal with that. And then some of the challenges are set as achievements. Indeed, in an environment where you're sitting with us, you live in an environment of paradoxes. What might be an achievement for me might not be an achievement in the eyes of others. Because of the environment I'm living. But I can see that there are certain things that are happening that were not happening before, but in totality, indeed, we have not yet achieved the expectation. So indeed, these are small milestones that are leading towards the realization of the final goal. What is the root cause of all these problems? Indeed, the root cause of the problems, I must say that, to be honest, I do not know, because I've also asked myself this question, that if you look at the audit reports of the compensation fund in the last 5 years, a very good audit reports. You go and look inside, it's something else. So myself, is I don't know. What is the problem? What I can tell you now is that if you look at the finance status, in the last 3 years, we have had a fund managed by an executive manager of finance, one person, no managers below. How on earth can you run an organization of over 600 people, 17 billion rand reserves, collecting about 3 million rand a year, that indeed that you can be able to do all those things alone. Indeed, we had a superstar in the CFO. I must say so. But I don't know. Because what I found now is that there are indeed big problems. 8 years of returns of earnings that were not captured. Income that was not recorded. Lost. Indeed, I don't know. I must indeed say that we are unearthing these things. We're putting them on the public podium because we want to address them. There's no need hiding. Because it's only through the truth and only the truth that you will be able to realize the challenges that we have. Indeed, there are challenges. Duplicate payments, as I've indicated earlier on, that we are paying medical providers twice. That's taxpayers' money that is lost. Over the years, I don't know how much, if we were to compute it over the years, how much money was lost. It's a lot of duplicate payments. Overpayments. Indeed, I found an anomaly that in this fund, we don't pay by invoice. When a doctor, we have what you call a gazetted tariff. When a doctor bills you and invoices you, let's say he has done a procedure, then he says this procedure is 5,000 rand. But the gazetted tariff says we must pay 25,000 maximum. This fund is paying and was paying maximum tariff. Will a doctor come back and say, no, no, I invoice you 5,000 rand, take back 20,000? That has not happened. It's happening now, as I'm saying. Our financials are reflective of that. We're paying the maximum tariff, not what the invoice is saying. So these are some of the challenges that we need to address.
It will be nabbed. Those are involved in that scam.
I think I've brought this matter to the attention of the audit committee because the IT system that we have was programmed to pay the maximum tariff. Because when I ask senior manager claims, why are you paying the maximum when the invoice is not the maximum? The doctor says, I've performed this procedure, I want 5,000. They say, no, the Gazette is saying you must pay maximum. The Gazette is the maximum, it's a guidance, it's a guideline. But that's the challenge that we are having, and you will bear with me. You are going to have many complaints, but I'm going to change that. We have to pay per invoice. And these doctors who have been receiving these maximums for years, don't think they're going to come back to you and say that commissioner is now changing things. He's not paying us on time. He's even reducing our payment. But I'm saying that the Gazette is the guide. We're not supposed to pay by Gazette. But I don't blame the doctors. We managers in this fund have created a right to these doctors. So these are some of the issues that we need to address. With regard to suspensions of the officials, and I think my DG has dealt with this.
I'll
suggest that maybe we have the names of all those people and let this portfolio committee take it up. They can't be allowed to get away with it, because that will be get away with it. They just cannot be allowed to get it.
Madam Chairperson, I do not want to create an impression that there are people who are robbing the fund. I am saying our interpretation of the law, which we have written into our IT systems, is a problem. It's not the doctors. The doctors send you an invoice, and you pay them by maximum. Sometimes they send you an invoice higher than the guideline. You pay them as per the guideline. So the explanation I got when I asked this thing, they said, no, there's a balancing effect. Some claims over the guideline, in some instance, some claims below the guideline. So these things, they balance each other. I've never heard that in my life, but this is what is happening. It's us, the officials, who have created this environment. It's not the doctors out there. They're doing a stunning job. Some of them have not been paid over 3 years.
No, Mr. Mkondo,
I think that we must be dealt with.
Just say one, Mr.
Mkondo. I think those are officials that must be dealt with. Those are short people that must be dealt with.
Are they doing this unaware or what? It just happens. We just want to be clarified, because we can see that there is a problem, but it's like really somebody is doing this unaware.
I must indeed say that these officials do not have an agenda to default to the fund.
Mm-hmm.
It's the interpretation of the regulations and the law. Because what I've done, I've went to FEMA, which is Federated Employer Association, and then Mutual, to say, because we're also administering our law, what is your interpretation of the gazetted tariffs? They said, it's the maximum we can pay. It's not what is a right that we must pay to doctors. But in the compensation fund, that is in the computer. The computer, if you punch a code and you put the invoice amount, it will pay the tariff code, not the invoice amount. It's not the officials. We wrote as a procedure. E-claim system, that's what it's doing. So we will have to correct that. And I think we need patience, because also we need to explain this to the fraternity, medical fraternity, that indeed there was something that was not right. We're trying to correct it in the good of service delivery and ensuring that the right people, because also it is an incentive to encourage corruption in the because the doctor might claim 17,000 or 5,000. What stops me as an official to phone the doctor and say, the claim factor gave you 25. What's there for me? It creates that incentive. So these are some of the issues that I said, as the DG has indicated, that we need to have a proper risk management function. If we had a proper risk management function, these issues ought to have been addressed long time. Because the risk unit was supposed to come in and say, look, here's a risk that we're sitting with here. We must address it. And how do we address it? So some of the issues is capacity in the fund that has resulted in this situation. And I think we're putting this on the table because we want to address them.
Thank you, Chairperson. I believe if the doctor, a particular doctor, has invoiced you 1,000 rand, then more than that, it is his responsibility to make you aware about that peculiar payment. it has never happened anywhere that when I claim 5,000 rand, I get 20,000 rand, and that is not communicated. Now, it seems to me there is some syndicate that is operational here. Thank you.
No, if I were a doctor myself, I wouldn't go back to you to say, no, I've had more than what I should. But like you say, that syndicate must be really looked at.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. And I think that's why I said that we're putting this thing on the table, because we want to begin to address them. And I must also indicate that the compensation fund pays far more than what the medical aid pays for the same procedure. Our tariffs are far much higher, because the explanation I received also when I got there is that we pay too late. We take a long time to pay, so we buy the doctors to hold on to their accounts too long. And that's the explanation. So Dr. Murake has a difficult responsibility to try to address that, to try to align those tariffs with the benchmarked medical aid tariffs in the country. If I was a doctor, definitely I would want to stay a doctor for IOD, not for anything else. For the issue of bonuses, I must indicate that indeed we do have a performance management system. I've tried to look at the page 87. I can't pick it up there on page. Or bonus performance related payments. We have the chief information officer. It's only one person who got a bonus. Other allowances. You see. So indeed we have a performance management system. And I must indicate that we are managing very, very, very closely. That we do not, I think we're privileged ourselves in the sense that we're a minister who's very, very, very hard. That he doesn't just sign anything. Because he says that your audit reports must reflect your performance. So indeed, if you have some problems in your audit, why should you get bonuses? So that in some extent is helpful, in the sense that the minister was with a very watchful eye. So we're managing this area very, very, very closely. However, the compensation fund has had a bonus system in the past, and the UIF, to compensate for staff shortage, where we allowed workers to work more to make up for the shortage of staff. But that system was done away with in 2005, April. So we do not have a bonus system. With regard to the call center, morale and all that issues, indeed it's the issue of systems. Because we do have a call center, the systems are not integrated. When you phone a staff member, you'll look at what is on the screen, but he might not know what is happening elsewhere, as the DGS indicated earlier on. Indeed, he will pass you to the next person, go to finance, pass it to finance people, or pass it to claims people. So it's something that we are looking at, and in our turnaround strategy, we've said, amongst other things, we need an integrated claims and revenue management system, that it should be seamless. You should be able to see what an employer has paid, and you can be able to tell that employer how many accidents is there, and how many people have claimed, how many payments we have made from that employer in terms of injuries and accidents. That we can't give you now. It's a tedious process. And I think the DG has also indicated some of the information is received yesterday. It's indicative of that. That by Wednesday, Thursday, I could not get information. Friday, I could not get information. But the IT is not very responsive. So we are trying to address that particular issue. On the revenue collection, I think there's an item there that said other income. All the penalties and interest that we levy are covered as other income. We do levy penalties and interest. On the issue of fraud, as I said earlier on, one of the other challenges also that we have picked up, which we are trying to address now, is the issue of gatekeeping. It's claims in that organization do not come through one access point. They come in various points. You have officials who receive claims directly because doctors know them now for now. If I give it to Mkondo, it will be processed quick. And that has implication, risk implication. That if Mkondo is processing them quickly, the implication is that Mkondo might be getting something for processing quickly. And it also creates a problem in the sense that you have staff who are committed to certain service providers, not to everyone. So we need to address that particular issue, that we have a one gatekeeping system, and that we can track each and every document that it has gone through the same door before it is processed elsewhere. So it's something that we're looking at. We've got a project that is looking at gatekeeping. How do we ensure that information gets through one door? One of the answers to that is EDI. If you have an electronic data transfer, which means a doctor will log into a system and send an account directly, it will go straight into the system. It doesn't go to Mkondo or to Zerowe. So this is one of the areas we're trying to address, to introduce EDI that doctors can electronically submit, so they don't have to pay allegiance to particular employees.
Mr. Okonjo, yes, I submitted questions to the minister, you know, for his reply. I don't know if you've seen them or not, but it deals with this point that you've just touched on, with kind of preferred service providers, where an employee has almost a special relation with a specific service employer and kind of gives preference to their claims. Now, there's a company, a private company, who collects on behalf of doctors, because doctors often complain that they don't get their payment in time and they have to submit and resubmit and so on. And this company now does it on their behalf. And apparently this company is very successful. Their claims are, you know, when they claim on behalf of others, they kind of get it through chop, chop, chop like this while individual doctors struggle. Is that kind of thing what you're referring to? And are you aware of this particular company?
Through you, Madam Chairperson, I am aware. It's not that only company. We do not treat companies with favor. We have what we call, we've got a number of companies that are buying claims from doctors. It's not only that company you mentioned in your question. I've seen the question. That company, if you can meet the CEO of that company, he hates the company. No. Because we are not paying. Because my experience is that I do not want to give preference to one particular company. Yesterday I met another company which is also complaining. And I indicated to them also that I'm meeting you because you are my client. I can't wish you away. I've created you. The commission fund has created them. Because we're not paying on time, that's why they have to buy accounts from doctors. Now, we do know that there are people who believe that if you go through a particular company, you get your things faster. It's not true. We treat them the same. The only issue is that if you submit your claims, because they are experienced, they've been doing this over the years, they know what must be brought in for a claim to be processed and completed. That could be one of the reasons why maybe their claims are faster, because they are complete. When they come to us, they come complete. So there is no question to ask. You just process and pay. So that could be one of the reasons. But there are many of them. There are more than five companies that I have met who are doing the same job. So there's no one. I've never treated them differently. What basis are we qualified? I think if you look at it, I've indicated earlier on, we've been qualified in one area, which is revenue. And I'm anticipating that probably that qualification might increase. Those qualifications might increase, but the focus in the past has been on revenue management, especially the raising of assessments and the calculation of outstanding debts and all that, and the provisions that we make. So those were the qualifications if you look through. Emphasis on matters has been the issues of policies. I want also to indicate that in finance we do not have policies. May, when I arrived there, I asked what are the finance policies, what policies govern us here. I do not know the extent of the problem, but they're quite mean. So I don't want to bore you with that. Traditional villas, Mr. Lengolo, you will deal with that issue, or do you have a policy on traditional villas? Claims information to be submitted. I have received one claim information already from honorable member. I'm expecting some information from honorable member.
By the way, who is the claim manager?
It's Mr. Lengolo. His senior is Mr. Dr. Murashi, Dr. Murashi.
Okay, by the way, members, Ms. Delani is no more.
She's no more, yes. She's on suspension. Mr. Sikerson will answer issues IT, not all IT issues. Because it's indeed said that other departments don't have this problem. Why compensation fund in the Department of Labor having this problem? Human capacity issue, I think the DG has answered that one. The issue of incomplete forms that causes backlogs I've dealt with. the surpluses. I think we should not be scared by the amount that are there. I must indicate to you that this fund is not well off. It might look like it's well off. There are certain challenges that we have. In my life in the UIF, through the actuaries that I've worked with, I've learned that there are other contingencies that we're not taking care of, which I think the commissioner is taking care of now. In the compensation fund, I think there are certain areas like occupational diseases. We have not really made proper provision for occupational because we don't know what is the extent of the problem in the economy of South Africa. How much people are contracting diseases every day as a result of work. We only know when they come and claim because we do not have a medical surveillance system to work on that. So it's something that the actuaries have raised with, we're looking at, so that we can begin to increase our provisions. And once we start doing that, our surpluses might become much lower, or even non-existent, because these are some of the provisions you make for claims that might happen 10, 15 years from now, that you don't see yourself now, but you must put money aside, that when they happen, you must be able to pay. I think the issue of the vacancy level was dealt with. With regard to the medical payments, I've also asked Lemora to deal with that. The issue of hearings is indeed a problem. In order for us to deal with hearings, we need to appoint what you call it provincial panels, appeals panels that deal with appeals in different provinces. And these are stakeholder type of panels. I must indicate that at the last board meeting of November, we indeed have approved the appointment of additional members of this panel to be able to speed up the backlog in that area. It is a problem, I must admit, but we are beginning to address it. At regional level, we are very thin at regional level. We only handle inquiries. At the present point in time, we do not process claims in the regions. We only have one official at Labour Centre who is looking after compensation. And then if you compare with the UIF, they might have 8 or 9 people there. So we need to address that issue. We have a project, if you look at our MTF presentation in the Red Book, where we're saying that we've piloted some of a decentralization aspect in the PE area, and we have to consolidate that now and prepare a formal model that we can use to decentralize the services of the compensation commissioner. And that responsibility sits with Dr. Murake, with the chief medical officer. Indeed, communication, I do not want to re-emphasize the point you've made. We are really lacking in that area. And if you look at my achievement, I said the past 8 years has been finished. We are now beginning to roll out that package. Hopefully in the next financial year, we will be able to prove that we're doing something about that. In terms of benchmarking of systems with the UIF, I think Likesh will handle that particular issue. I've dealt with the issues of the AG. The DG has what you call a weekly forum where we present to him our progress on addressing the IT issues. So it has been taken at a very high level. So through the office of the DG. So we are taking the AG issues very seriously. Issues loss of managers. I think the acting DG has dealt with this one. The issue of severance packages that people are taking because they're quite beneficial to take that package and to resign or to wait for your pension. It's much lucrative to go that route. The work culture. I must indeed admit that you have a very hard-working population there. But the result of it is like the sweat of a dog. You will not see the sweat. That's the challenge because of the processes, business processes and the IT system that is not integrated. They are indeed working hard, but the challenge is that some of them, because they're contract workers, the turnaround is very high because they are not sure whether the contract will be renewed next year or what. So people are always looking for jobs and they're going. So we keep on training, getting new people time and again. And that also has a serious impact on service delivery. And that is the issue that we've put on a high list to try to address. Check payments. As I've indicated, I've not really specifically talked to the agency, but my sense is that because of the issues I've raised earlier about members of the public who had not received their money because the checks fall on the postal van, it could be possible that the agency might not want to declare the amount. But if you put it into a bank account, it binds to declare it to the tax man. So if you get a check, you can.
And what do you do?
What we have done, Madam Chairperson, is that we have done away with checks because the Financial Intelligence Act requires every citizen to operate a bank account so that they can be able to trace the movement of cash. So we've implemented that, so that agency is no longer receiving cash. There are doctors also, it's not only one agency, doctors will pay by check. And we have now stopped that. There is a lot of noise. You will pick it up in the media that the commissioner is paying. In fact, they're saying that Ms. Van Beek is not paying us. And I must also indicate that Ms. Van Beek was borrowed from UI through the grace of the commissioner here. He has borrowed me, Ms. Van Beek. To utilize in finance at the company. I do not have money out there. So the noises are coming that Ms. Van Beek is not paying us because she wants us to open bank accounts and give all those things. But that is the reality of the matter. We're trying to address the problem.
No, she must just put her foot down. You want to come in, Tata?
No, I want to know if it's by law that you must have Mr. Van Beek. Is it by law that you must sell Mr. Van Veen? Or Ms. Van Veen?
I don't know if you understand.
Ms. Van Veen. Now, I want to know if it's a must that you must get the workers through that Ms. Van Veen or Mr. Van Veen. It's a must.
Another follow-up here. Dada, can you just switch off your...
Thanks, Chairperson. Earlier on when we went out for tea, in fact, I discussed this matter with Mr. Rabaskar here. And I'm very happy to hear from you that you are decentralizing the systems to the provinces. In fact, to deal with the issue of backlog. Now, I thought maybe you could detail that specifically because my belief is that it's centralization of the system that delays the claim payments. Thanks.
Yeah, maybe we should give them a chance now, others. Oh, I know that may Van Wyk, you maybe want to say something. And Mr. Sekerson, you have two issues on the IT system. I wonder if it will be yourself or the manager in communication, Mr. Mung, is he around? He's not. Yeah, though we don't have time, the issue you mentioned the issue of communication, and there has been also a question about that, which is a problem. I thought maybe they would want to say something on that, but we don't have time. Can you just get into those issues given by the commissioner?
I think it's Mr. Sigurdsson and Mr. Lemolo and Mr. Tassi and Ms.
Van Wyk. Of course, Dr. Murakis.
Dr. Murakis. And Ms. Van Wyk will answer on why should we have the Ms. Van Wyk.
Yeah.
Okay, no, sending wrong message. Now, my question was why must he employ people via somebody? Why can't people just be employed directly and avoid this contract labor? I thought you were referring to Ms. Van Wyk or Mr. Van Wyk. It was he's or she's a contractor. Yeah, sorry. I didn't know that this was
something. No, I don't think. I don't think really Ms. Van Wyk will be able to. Can you just raise your hand? Utatakubone, Mama.
No, I did not see. Sorry, Mom. I didn't know that it was one of staff members. I thought it was somebody outside where you get your contract labor from. Sorry, Mom.
The context in which Naive was raised is that these doctors that are now saying, she's not paying us because she's processing the payments to them because they want checks. Now, if they don't get checks, they say, well, she's not processing the checks.
Yeah,
that's the context.
Yeah.
That is why I said she must put her foot down. We will attend to those noises if there will be some noises out there.
Thank you, Madam Chairperson. I'm handing over to Mr. Tassi to answer
this. No, thank you very much, Commissioner. The issue that is raised to me is why we have the admin costs having been reduced by 32%. The main reason for the thing of a reduced admin cost was mainly on the fact that we had been having a huge staff turnover and not replacing the people, and that's why the 71 vacancies that we had, the job since now grown to 81. So because of the vacancies, then there was a reduced salary bill in terms of paying those people, and other related administration issues that because of the lack of capacity that is supposed to be doing, we're not spending. And actually, if you look at the cost on paper, the stationery, it actually trebled because we are producing a lot of files that we are treating manually. But the administration, the cost mainly reduced because of a huge staff turnover and less on the salaries. That's right.
Thank you. Honorable Chairperson, can I just make a correction quickly on relating to the bonuses and performance-related payments that was raised? and it looks like I got paid a bonus or two, which I didn't. It's actually the structuring of the package for the 13 checks. That's why, and it's reflected as a under the column. Okay, coming to the questions that were there, why is IT a problem within the organization? Firstly, I must mention that we are working on very outdated legacy systems that are there, and there is no integration of systems. There's disparate information. And one of the things that we need to do, and the DG mentioned this earlier on during his address, was that we need to finalize our business processes. We need to optimize and streamline them so that then we can automate and develop systems around that, so that we can ensure that the systems that are built are automated under the optimized business processes. So currently, all we're doing is just building in additional functionality and enhancements to legacy systems. The second question related to, are we benchmarking against the UIF? We have looked at various interventions around the IT. Firstly, we looked at the integration of the employer databases to see which employers are not registered or who are registered with the UIF and are not registered with us. So, again, because of the disparity of our systems, we did not get a very high success rate. So the success rate in finding them, we identified, I think, in the region of only 20,000 employers that are not on both the databases. Secondly, is that the finance section is looking at our financials, because we're using the same financial system. There's a lot of comparison to look at the functionality that the UIF has built into their system as compared to ours, and we're trying to bring in that functionality into our own systems. And then I mentioned earlier that, I think at our October meeting, is that the department is looking at developing one integrated database for all its clients, because we serve the same clients, the same employers, the same employees, and we are trying to get one integrated database within the Department of Labor, so that when a client registers with us or claims from us, then we have that information throughout the Department of Labor and not separate databases like how we currently have.
You must speak through the mic for record purposes, Doctor.
Thank you, Chair. On the issues of the traditional healers, one must inform the House that the fund is dealing with injuries and occupational diseases. And for this to be effected, there has got to be information which is medically inclined that will show how a disability or management of that particular illness or injury can be managed. So it is not envisaged at this stage in time that when a person has been crushed by a machine, he'll go to be taken by an employer to a traditional healer, take to a hospital so that it can be dealt with.
It is so interesting, you know. I wish Dr. Rupna Rain would elaborate more on this so that we hear a doctor-to-doctor clarification.
Traditional healers should be used where you believe there is something happening, things are not going right, and you go and check out who could be doing this. But when you've got a cut and you're bleeding, you would go to a hospital. And I'm sure the employers would also take you to a hospital. They wouldn't take you to a traditional hospital. On the issue of decentralization.
On the OSHA, I must be honest, I didn't get your... Can you switch it off so long? Yeah, I... Off. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Do you mind? I know we don't have time really, but the explanation or the response from Dr. Morage gives, you know, some ideas of, I don't know, maybe I didn't get your question well. Do you want to say something or you're okay?
I was trying to interject and say, coming from the IFP, you know, I brought the traditional healing practitioners into it, but occupational, the compensation fund also deals with diseases. I mean, stuff like tuberculosis, occupationally acquired HIV and things like that. So, I mean, it would be obvious you wouldn't take somebody who's injured or needs an amputation to a traditional healing. So,
not necessarily being the weak.
And I'm sure the rates wouldn't exceed some of you know, the qualified medical
Okay, Dr. Morage, can you just round up?
Yes, thanks, Madam Chair. So basically that even if with tuberculosis or HIV, you still need to get laboratory tests that prove that a person is infected. And we may need some x-rays as well to show how much consolidation has been there in terms of the effect of tuberculosis. Or even other pulmonary or lung diseases that could be contacted at a place of employment. In terms of the decentralization, unfortunately I couldn't show, I've got here a whole plan where there is a flow chart that includes how the process is going to unfold, which are going to be the target dates and areas, how it is going to be done, by when, by whom, etc. It's all here. So we have, up to date, we are just on par because we're looking at the decentralization in a bigger and a broad sense, whereby if it's necessary to get into an industry, people who are having a certain number of employers, employees, ISCO would have like 23,000. What would not be the sense for not having an entity inside ISCO? Because then you won't have any claims that are lacking in any documentation. Because they can get the ID, they can get everything at once, and you can be able to process. And it just goes automatically. You don't necessarily need to relay. You could save it on a CD and you can bring it to the fund once a week and update the system. So we're looking at all those methods, but we'd like to really get the process away from Pretoria, because people are getting injured in Tabazimbi, and when you, the information is not adequate, and you have to send back to request more information. Somebody's on leave, he comes back, the employee's on leave, and it goes on and on and on. So it would be much more easier and beneficial for the services to be provided at the place or closest to the place where injuries or diseases take place. And that is what we're working on.
Thank you, Dr. Morage. And we just wish if, we wonder if you can just send us email the information, the good information you have to the committee secretary, so that she do the same to us. Thank you very much, Tim Kondo. We really are running out of time. We only have less than 45. We have 45 minutes, but we are saying to you really, we are very much thankful. We can see that you are taking this fund somewhere. We are just hoping, with your team, we are just hoping that really all these problems will be minimized. But without wasting any more time, that is a roe. The time is yours now. Traditional motive to help the same country.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson and honorable members. I'm presenting the strategic plan of the unemployment insurance fund, also with the medium-term expenditure framework, the budget, for a period of 3 years, which is starting from 2008 and 9 to 2010 and 11, which is a period of 3 years. Chairperson, this is the outline of our presentation on slide 4. But I want to go to the overview, because we know about our functions and the main products. I will exactly go to slide 9 that deals with our strategic objectives. Chairperson, our strategic objectives are for a period of 3 years, and they are in conjunction with a balanced scorecard. We as a fund, we take financial management very seriously. That's why we have a bullet point there that says financial management. And in financial management, we want to obtain a clean audit opinion, Chairperson. And the clean audit opinion is an opinion which doesn't have emphasis of matter or other matters. I also need to report, Chairperson, that already for the past 2 financial years, the unemployment insurance fund obtained unqualified audit reports for 2005 and 6 and 2006 and 7. The other objective, which is very important, is our stakeholders, as you have already alluded to the issue of communication. We are doing our best to reach as many people as possible through our outside broadcast, the TV, and also communication with our stakeholders. The people are our assets. As a fund, we have a strategic view that we need to recruit and retain competent staff. Chairperson, if you look at our annual report on page 22 and 23, you'll see that we invest a lot of money in terms of training our staff, in terms of supervisory courses, and also the Public Finance Management Act to ensure that they understand the law. Our processes, we have obtained a lot of work here, and there's a breakthrough. We know that we, as a fund, we have electronic funds transfer that we've implemented 2 years ago. We have a system that we call the U-filing system, which is a system that can make you to declare and make payment at the comfort of your house or your office. And that we do to enhance the quality of service to our clients. Chairperson, for the Part B deals with strategic outputs for 2008 and 9, and we are elaborating on what we want to do. We say the first issue that we must do when we want to get a clean audit opinion, we need to improve contribution collections from employers, because we have employers who are registering with the fund, but payment is not coming forth. We want to ensure that all of them, in terms of enhanced revenue management, they make their contribution. Although we have actually success rates, we'll see when we talk about the revenue that we've collected, it is growing. Improve compliance by employers. Here we believe, Chairperson, that all employers, whether in the informal sector or the formal sector, must register their employees. We also need to completely reduce the losses to the fund. I think most of you know the issue of work and draw, that is the overpayment. And we have put measures in place already to ensure that we collect as much as possible. Already now we have 12 million that we've collected until February, compared to the 9 million last financial year. We are already involving state attorneys and people from outside. We also believe that we need to improve financial and operations management and reporting in order to comply with the Public Finance Management Act. Also, the stakeholders, increase stakeholders and awareness and support for the fund. It is our wish to entrench UIF as a safety net against unemployed hardship. We want people to know us as people who are providing this kind of service. We have been aware that most people, especially professionals, are not aware of the benefits that we offer. We have been on TV, we have been talking to people through outside broadcast
to educate them. Also, we want to educate our stakeholders about our rights, their rights as employers and employees, and their obligations as far as the fund is aware. We are starting to build relationships with our stakeholders. We have constant meetings with the people in the taxi industry. We are engaging with the unions and also the business. Chairperson, we already have extended our communication strategy to churches. Mr. Sibizo today is at Moria to communicate.
I was going to ask where he is because really we see him regularly on TV and everywhere. He's really doing well.
Yeah, thanks, Chairperson. He's actually engaging because we will be, during Easter, we'll be providing our services to the Moria because most people will be there. The other thing, Chairperson, is recruit and retain competent and caring staff. We, as the fund, people in the fund, very passionate about our work. The managers here who are with me. We want to develop a multi-skilled and competent workforce. We need to recruit and retain competent staff, and we need to develop and implement a succession plan, Chairperson, to ensure that people do not become indispensable. If somebody leaves the fund, somebody underneath must be able to take the baton and move with it. Now, on the quality of service to our clients, optimal use of technology, I think we have emphasized that point. We need to define and automate our processes. Declarations and the payment processes need to be optimated. We have done that already, but we are not complacent. We need to continue to really do that. We need to improve operational efficiency. And here, Chairperson, we're talking about the CIS system. The system is working very well, but we need to enhance it. We need to enhance also our financial management system, which is the Exit One system. We need to ensure that our systems talk to each other through the seamless integration. Chairperson, quickly, our achievements for 2007 and 8, which is this financial year, this is what we've done. We have invested in infrastructure to boost service delivery. We have improved financial sustainability of the fund. We'll see the figures. We are able to buy to build a sound institution that is based on good governance. We have actually said we need to increase emphasis on performance management, not only to talk about a clean audit report, but we need to look at the fund holistically, as I have indicated that we also talk about engagement of stakeholders. Now, in terms of investment in infrastructure to boost service delivery, we have implemented a system at Chairperson, which we called a scanning project. A scanning project ensures that we reduce a paperwork and all documents are scanned into the system. We're able, through our awareness campaigns, which we are continuing to do, to reach about 20 million people, and that was for the year 2006 and 7. Because we saw that this strategy is working, we are continuing this financial year to do that. Just last week, we had that outside broadcast in here in Cape Town at George Chairperson. Now, in terms of our achievement, in terms of improving sustainability, here, Chairperson, we are talking about the results until the end of December, which is a period of 9 months. We are comparing April to April. Our contribution revenue has actually increased by 823 million. This is an indication that we have more people paying the fund, and this increase also can be attributed to the increase in our earning ceilings, which also improves benefits. Our assets of the fund have also increased, Chairperson, by 7 billion, which also indicates that we are investing in a very prudent manner, and we are actually reaping the rewards. Our surplus, which in a private sector terminology will be called profit, has increased by 1.4 billion, which is also very good for the fund to ensure that all the time when people come to the fund to claim, there will be money to be paid to our clients. Chairperson, we did not forget issues of corporate governance.
you think building a sound institution based on good governance. We have implemented risk management strategy and function. We have done this at the head office of the fund, but also all our provincial offices, we have what we call risk management committees that ensure that the fund does not lose money. We also have a corporate governance framework. We have the audit committee with its own charters. We have the bid committee. And we also have an internal audit charter, which is conducted by our internal audit. In terms of our registration, Chairperson, we looked at the employers to say, what have we done in terms of registration? We have increased our registration until December from the domestic sector by 23,000. Commercial sector is 73,000. The taxi industry, we have a big problem, Chairperson, as you can see that we only have increased it by 1,821, despite the fact that our minister has actually issued a sectoral determination in this regard. But we found that the taxi guys are reluctant. But all is not lost, because we are communicating with Santaco, we are communicating with NTA, we are also doing some workshops. Our training division in the fund, under Mr. Chauke, is actually doing the training on the taxi people. We are working very closely with them. We have a program that we've developed together, just to roll it out to ensure that we can have all the numbers that we want. But also our board has also advised us that we need to start to communicate the benefits of the UIF, the people in the taxi industry, to show the workers that if you lose your work, you can come to claim to the fund, so that the workers, especially Satao, can put more pressure on the employers to register. Now also, when we come to the employees, our vulnerable employees, domestic sector, we see a change of 4,000, the increment. In the commercial sector, we see an increase of 128,000. The taxi industry, Chairperson, is the number is 61 in terms of employees. Because most also, the reason for that is that most employers, they say, this is my taxi and I'm driving it, so I'm an employee and an employer. That's why the numbers there are different. But in terms of our achievement in total, we have 132,852 new employees on our database. The benefits of the fund, and that will also answer the question on what is the real reason for the decrease in benefits. We see that in terms of unemployment, there is a decrease there of, in terms of money terms, 20 million, which means until December, compared to December 2006 and 2007, we paid less claims by 20. This trend is not starting now. If you compare our financial statements for 6, 7, and 5, 6, we also saw the decline, because we put a total of 2.9 billion in 2005 and 6. 2006 and 2007, we paid 2.8, and that decline is based on the growth in the economy, and more people are being in employment. It's not because of the backlog in the fund. In terms of our illness benefit, we've seen an increase of 4,000. Maternity benefit has increased, and we're very delighted, because this is where our people did not know that the fund offers such a benefit. We have 36,000. Adoption benefits, unfortunately, Chairperson, we see the decrease there of three million. And dependent benefits have gone down by also 11 million. Chairperson, in terms of human resource management, to see that the fund is serious about it, we have the numbers there. Under African male, we see we had, the target was 5. But we are now sitting at 6. Affirmative African female, our women, in the executive level, that is the SMS. We wanted to have 4, but only 2. But we still believe that all is not lost, because we have 2 vacant positions at this level. and we do our best to comply. Now, in terms of that level of colored males, unfortunately, we don't have anybody. Colored females at this level, not yet. Indian males, we have one. Indian female, we have nobody, unfortunately. White males, we have done well here at Chaplain, we have two. But our target was to have one. But we're still going to strive to ensure that the equation balances. White females, we still need to do a lot of work in that regard. And as I said, there are two posters available that can help the fund. The 721 chairperson shows how the UIF has transformed itself in terms of management. As we came here, we indicated that we also did not have management structures, but I'm glad to indicate that if you look at affirmative action, we had a target of 29, and the percentage was 38%. But last financial year, chairperson, we only had 5 African males at this post. We have 18 now, as you can see. African females, only 3. There were only 3 last year, but we have 21. In terms of colored males, there were 2 last year. Now there are 3 this financial year. Colored females, we did not have anybody. Now we have 3 of them. This is the middle management. Indian males, we only had 1, but the number is 3 now. In terms of Indian females, we didn't have anybody. We have employed an Indian female in the management position of the fund. White males, there were 2 last year, but the number is 1. There has been a decline. Now, in terms of white females at higher level, last year we only had 2, but we have 12 chairperson. That shows that the fund is very serious about transforming itself to ensure that it complies with employment. Chairperson, in terms of our MTEF, what we want to have in terms of the budget, I need to indicate that some of the figures like revenue, it comes from our actuaries, and also benefit payments. That's the figures that we get from actuaries. We see that 2006, 2007, and 2008, which is this financial year, we call it the base year, staff cost, we're looking at 403. The following year, we look at an increase of to 481 million. The year 2009 and 10, we're looking at 507. And eventually, over this particular MTF period, we're looking at 536 million. Goods and services, chairperson, the figures are there. Other cost, and here we're talking about capital cost, you see that we had 71 million for this financial year. The figure will decrease, chairperson, because some of our big projects, like the scanning project, the system development, and call center investment, have already been made. Now, in terms of benefits payments, we have the 3.9 billion.
Daddy, can you just think before the two members leave? We have proposed 2 dates for that workshop, that outstanding plan workshop, the 27th and the 28th, and because we want to process that. Can really members confirm, because we want to send this away, and we cannot book for people who want to be attending. If you can just look at your diaries, but we are pleading, because immediately after the Easter, on the 21st, we are here. So please come back on the Easter Monday. 21st, we are here. 26th, we are seeing the department. 27th and 28th at the workshop. Please, the maker. Stellenbosch. Okay, that is true. I'm sorry about that.
Thanks, Chairperson. If we go to the slide 24, that is our budgeted surplus over a period of 3 years. The budget there is 16 billion. But Chairperson, because of this huge surplus, we envisage to improve benefits. Now, also, if you look at 25, we are budgeting, through the help of the actuaries, for 11% increase in our revenue. It will be, this financial year, we want to have 10 billion, and we believe we're going to reach that. 2008 and 7, 11, 12, in 2009 and 10, and in 2010 and 11, we looking at the 13.6 billion. And these are the our benefits. We're looking at them, Chairperson. On the left-hand side, we have the benefits that we're going to pay, but over and above that, we put aside reserves. You'll see that in terms of our reserve for 2007 and 8 is 1.4 billion. The following year, they have gone down to 1.2, 1.2, and 1.9. That is based on the risk that the actuaries look at the fund and say, you need to decrease your reserve. Now, that slide 27, I don't want to delve into it, but it talks about admin expenditure, and the average is 9% increase, which is in conjunction or in line with the CPI. Now, in terms of growth in support of the strategic priority we have, where we say we want to enhance the quality of service to our clients, I've mentioned all those points that they are there. We want to obtain a clean audit report when we talk about improving revenue. This is very important. We need to implement a debt management and compliance management strategy, which will make the declaration process to be compulsory. We also need to improve debt collection through the outsourcing of debt collection services and also going to the court to get a court order. This already we have implemented in terms of overpayment. In terms of increasing our stakeholders' awareness and support, we have the media campaigns. I think a lot of you have seen those on TV. Stakeholders meeting, promotional material. And also we need, this is very important, Chairperson, on the obtaining clean audit report, curbing fraudulent transaction. We have and we are going to finalize the implementation of a bank verification strategy. On the recruitment and training of competent staff, already we are training workshops and facilities are being done. We offer bursaries. As a fund, we also contribute to the total employment through the process of learnership. We also comply with workplace skills plans that are required in terms of the Skills Development Act. Now, enhancing the quality of service to clients through optimal use of technology, continuously maintaining and enhancing fund management systems, undertaking a special project to improve the quality of the fund declaration database to actually ensure that there's integrity in our database, implementing an integrated management information system, that is the OCIA. Very important, Chairperson, and I think this will answer the question of what do we do with such big reserves. What we've done as a fund and the board and employees is that we have actually wanted to increase the benefit payment. We call it income replacement rate. The minimum that we used to offer was 38%. We want to move to 45% as a minimum. The maximum was 60. We want to increase it to 65 so that we can comply with the ILO Convention 102, which is a minimum standard. The impact won't be that much, Chairperson. For 2008 and 9, we'll see the reduction in our surplus by 544 million. The following year, it will decrease by 622 million. Eventually, it will be 713 million, which indicates that it is affordable. Chairperson, the slide that the left talks about our financial performance, we see that our contribution revenue has increased by 14%. Investment income, which indicates that by investing our money properly, is 68%. The other income, which comes from the rental from the properties that we own, has increased by 62%. A benefit expenditure by 0.4%. And we have seen also an increase in our operating expenditure by only 1%. Our staff cost, because of integration of services that we offer, we've also seen the decrease. Now, the net surplus of the fund has gone up by 50%, investment 39%, and technical reserves it has gone up by 11%. The accumulated surplus, which is the total surplus, has gone up by 71%. Chairperson, here we're comparing the budget, what we targeted for, and what our performance is like. In terms of our contribution, we have exceeded our our budget by 3%. Investment income, we've exceeded our budget by 25%. Other income, 60%. In terms of benefit expenditure, which we have indicated, we actually wanted to pay more. Unfortunately, because of the economy is doing very well, we're paying less by 26%. Operating expenditure also, because of the efficiencies in the fund, have gone down by 32%. The staff costs, because also of integration of services in our labor centers and provincial offices, have decreased by 31%. That has actually contributed to a very good surplus of 4.4 billion, which is an increase of 56%. Thank you very much, Chairperson and members.
Thank you very much, Dr. Sorowe. I was reading in terms of the MPEF, the strategic objectives have not set a target date. What are the target dates for evaluation purposes? And also, maybe the number of benefits, the unemployment benefits, compared to the year 2000. I think it has declined drastically. What are the reasons of the decline? Are the reasons due to the decline in the unemployment, or is it in the non-compliance of from the employers, maybe, or has the fund maybe initiated research to understand reasons behind that fluctuation? Members, can I open for discussion, Mam Kizer?
Thank you, Chairperson. I think my previous question that I received comes in now. On the page 16, on the staff cost, as I said, that we want to know that how did you save on this staff cost? Is it a reduction of staff or what is it? Then coming on 17, the top slide, you've got benefit expenditure went down, operating expenditure, and here staff costs again. Arising from the earlier explanations that we had in respect of backlogs and also losing trainees, how do you come across this cost cutting and in your final financial achievement? Don't you actually need to spend this money in respect of employing more staff and training more staff, as to get rid of your backlogs that have been standing for many, many years, and also your training and your terms and conditions of training? How do you achieve or retain your trainees? On what terms and conditions do you train them? And are there any employment assured to these trainees? Thank you.
Thanks, Jim. Thanks for the presentation. Just one little technical point. Could I perhaps put a plea to the department when they present that one follows the same terminology? You know, I've got outputs, priorities, you know, often the same thing, you score three different things, because I've got last year's, you know, presentation when we had the budget, you know, that we just use the same terms, that we don't call the same things, different things, and you start wondering now, which one is that? Is it A, B, or C I'm dealing with? So please, if that could be retained, just makes it a little easier when we're trying to follow, you know, going back to previous documentation. To scratch around and make cross-references when we have the same thing. Well, I was going to ask about taxis, but we eventually got to them, which is important. The other thing, just maybe a little more, the surplus, you're in the business of building up surpluses, you know, like you're getting income, your income does so well, your contributions, we have massive surpluses. Now, sure, that I gather, and correct me if I'm wrong, that it does mean benefits are going to be increased. Otherwise, it's really don't get surplus if you're not going to give it back to the unemployment. The other point is, you know, you are doing recruiting and retaining competent staff and training, bursaries, learnerships, and so forth. But, you know, what is very essential is actually discipline in the workplace. People can go on workshops and they can be trained and then they spend the day sitting on the telephone talking to their friends. You know, or they goof off or they put off till tomorrow what they can do today. But they can be fully trained and they can be competent. They can just be lazy and they're not performing. So workplace discipline. Now, I mean, the amount of time I see people on cell phones, telephones, is a very important aspect of delivery. You know, even very bright people can be lazy. I'll probably include myself, hopefully, in that job category. Then, as I said, we noted income replacement. And the other thing is, I seem to come here with one example as if this is now the be all and end all. My wife has endless problems with you guys. You know, I mean, we have one domestic lady that comes in once a week, and she insists on paying her unemployment insurance. It's a couple of rats. She pays in advance, and every month she gets it. Why haven't you paid? Why haven't you paid? She gets all these things. Is something wrong? Now, I mean, it might just be we unfortunate. But there might be a lot of people that keep getting, you know, told to pay, and they already a year in advance, because you're not going to pay for one part-time domestic. I don't even think we have to pay, but nevertheless, that's not the point. My wife pays. And then you keep getting reminders. And sometimes if she's about a year in advance, because you're going to pay sort of one or two rand every month. It costs you more than this. But maybe I don't know if this is a common thing or is there something wrong with your system. I just mentioned that as an adult. Thank you.
Thank you. We have really run out of time. And your question reminds me of, can you switch off your mic? Reminds me of a task given by one of the senior citizens here in Parliament. I wonder maybe Hloni, to talk to Hloni to assist me. She actually needs the forms. She wants to register one of not necessarily a domestic worker, but somebody is working at a farm, Mrs. Nzanga here. She wants me to give her, she cannot go to the offices because she doesn't know where the offices are, somewhere at Val, but she's just asking for if you can just provide her with those forms to register that person. Has the fund completed its the process of agentification? And also, Les, can you perhaps tell us, maybe we know that it's still on the pipeline, the bill, the UIF bill. What is the status of the UIF bill? We only have 10 minutes to be out of this place. I wonder what kind of speech are you going to respond? And that is Roy.
Right.
person, I think the acting director general will deal with the issue of the bill and also the agencification of the fund. I will deal with the issue of targets in our strategic plan. Our target period, Chairperson, is end of each financial year, which will be the 31st of March 2008, which is this financial year. And on the following 2009 and 10, it will also be at the end of the financial year. Now, we have looked into the issue of the declining benefit, and we looked into our database. What we have seen, Chairperson, is the increase in the people who are registered in the fund. That indicates that more people are finding jobs. And we have also saw in our database that less people are losing their employment, which means there is an increase in employment in the country. The savings in staff costs, Chairperson, came with the strategy of the department to say, let us integrate our services. Let us, if you go to a labor center, instead of being served by somebody looking at the UIF only, let the person do more than one function. So that is where the savings come from. And also if you go to provincial offices, it was our intention to have people focusing 100% on UIF functions in terms of financial management. But we believe that the process of sharing services can actually bring a benefit, and that's what we see now. We find a manager finance, not looking at UIF only, but looking at all the functions of the department, including CC and NSF. The issue of backlog, Chairperson, we don't have major backlogs in the fund because we have decentralized the functions. Our labor centers have processing functions. Now, you can go to a labor center and you want to know about the payment status, you'll get it at that particular labor center. So we have seen these efficiencies. We've also implemented the EFT process where we pay people directly into their bank accounts. People don't have to queue to receive their payments. And also there's this declaration where people used to queue again to declare. We just created a form, we call it the UI68, where people just leave the form there and they just can then be processed. Chairperson, what we do when we get learnerships and people on internships, we give them training and experiential learning, but thereafter some of them join us, but others unfortunately they go to greener pastures. Last financial year we got a young black ladies in the fund in terms of learnership. They did a lot of good work in terms of internal audit. That's why the Auditor General for the first time said, I can rely on the internal audit of the unemployment insurance fund. But unfortunately, those were taken by Koboto, so those they are earning a lot of money. But we are happy because we are actually contributing to the whole economy of the fund, although we wanted to have them, but we already bringing some into the organization again. I think the suggestion that we use the same terms is taken. Chairperson, the surplus at this point in time seems to be very attractive because, you know, there is this economic cycle where you have a period of huge employment and you get more money. But we also need to take into account that there will be a decline in the economy. Already we're seeing the refocusing on our economic growth that is going to be less. Now, during those hardships, we will then be able to pay people. So we need to have that particular cushion there, but we're not going to have a lot because we have indicated already that we want to improve the benefit payment. I need to indicate also proudly, Chairperson, that the people at the UIF are very passionate about their work. They work very hard, and there is a good work ethic in the fund. We don't have issues where there's lacking discipline. Now, in terms of domestic workers, where the Honorable Chairperson indicated that we get a reminder, we have improved on that, Chairperson. We used to send the UI-7 to everybody. The only return was only 10%. So we're only issuing it now. Maybe it has not gone to everybody on request. If people want if they talk to us, but we are encouraging our people to use the system, the youth filing system, where a person can make a declaration on the system, and we do a reconciliation, and we don't bother people with this UI7 anymore. We've done a lot of work there, but we will actually maybe indicate to the honorable member how he can access and use the system. Chairperson, we'll do our best to register the farm worker that you're talking about. We'll get the details. I'll give over to the acting director general.
Well, thank you, Chairperson. Just on the UIF, though, within the review that took place in Parliament of the legislative program for this year, you remember there was a review about 3 weeks or so ago when the leader of government business was involved. It was agreed that the UIF bill will not go forward in this program, but in the next year, because of the, I think there's 90 bills that must be dealt with within 15 days that we've seen recently. So I think it's just because of the congestion. But the drafting has been done, but I think it's just the program in Parliament. Pardon? The bill. Now, the bill was essentially going to give effect to the improvement in the income replacement rate, changing the percentage replacement of salary from the 38% that the Commissioner informed us about to 45% to 60% to 65%. So that will be taken through the next legislative program. With regard to the agentification...
Just a minute, just on that one.
No,
that.
Yeah, with regard to the agentification process, Chairperson, at the beginning of last year, we had discussions and review of the process that was undertaken. And there was a legal opinion that, in fact, indicated that we do not need to pursue the agentification route. We can just retain the fund as a public entity. But most of the objectives that we have set out in the agentification process, we are achieving through the integration of our services, particularly at labor center level. As the commissioner indicated, we, at every one of the labor centers, people should be able to access the unemployment insurance fund, in fact, all of our services at that level. Since then, there's also been more what we call centers where people can actually get paid. They don't have to go from the one labor center to another one. So we have increased the number of those, or what was referred to as processing centers, but the objective is that every center should eventually be able to process the full scope of the services. And then, of course, the integration is important for us so that people do not see the unemployment insurance fund as standing separately from the department. I mean, it's a service of the department, and therefore it's delivered in an integrated way. So that is being done, that all our services are integrated, I mean, are delivered on an integrated basis at the lowest level possible. And we have 125 labor centers across the country. So the objective is that all of them will process claims. All of them don't pay the claims at the moment, but the ultimate objective is that they should all be able to pay as well, depending on the volumes that they process as well. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. At least we made it on time. And I must thank you and Dr. Sorowe when discussing the funds for the committee. They really acknowledged the work done, the good work done by yourself and your team. Indeed, we believe and agree that there is that work ethic within the fund. And we really want that to happen to all the entities. We are hoping that really both of you and the compensation fund, there won't be any problems there. And we are very much thankful about the work all of you, you are welcome to have some. I'm sure there is finger lunch outside there. And thank you very much, and enjoy the Easter holiday. Thank you.